Blog Talk Radio.
Seth Rich was his name. Young guy from Nebraska, a DNC staffer, and he was executed a few days ago, Washington, D.C., nation's capital. And no, this is not going to be about gun control or anything like that. No, he was a DNC staffer. He was walking home from his girlfriend's place, and he gets executed. Two bullets, back of the head. The D.C. police, being the D.C. police, said, well, it must have been a robbery attempt. Funny thing, though. They didn't take anything. No money was taken. No jewelry. No phone. Weird kind of robbery, don't you think? Two bullets back of the head for a robbery? Really? D.C. police? Really? Now, before we get started here, several things. Oh, well, actually, a number of things. Not only are we going to talk about this, but also talk about the president's daughter, Malia, who got caught smoking weed. And so my question is, should she be busted for smoking weed? I mean, we do have a war on drugs, don't we? We've got zero tolerance when it comes to people doing drugs, don't we? So should we treat the president's daughter like we would treat some poor, uneducated kid from the inner city and arrest him for smoking weed? We're going to talk about that. Also talk about Paul Ryan, House Speaker, big election, big victory last night. So I'll get you updated with that as well. Still no word from Donald Trump's people about the design, the Pat Manley design of Donald Trump's wall. Nothing. So I'm beginning to think maybe that somebody in the mailroom didn't give it to him or something like that. I don't know what to think, but I'm just like, meh. Also tonight, a great interview, Wally Sarkisian. Wally Sarkisian is the guy who created the website gagrule.net. And this guy knows all about Turkey and about Turkey's political problems and all of and the atrocities connected with the Turkish government that goes back, you know, over the centuries. Anyway, he is a great source for information about what's going on in Turkey today, because the mainstream media is downplaying it. Even this Erdogan is turning into this incredible monster, trying to turn Turkey into a caliphate. Wally Sarkisian has some great insights about the alleged military coup. He makes a strong case that it was staged. Now, a few things here. Now, if you're listening to me on blogtalkradio.com, first, thank you. But if you're just listening and not watching on Facebook Live, you can't see that I am not wearing a tinfoil hat. I don't wear tinfoil hats. I don't do that. I don't connect the dots for conspiracy theories. I'm not a birther. I'm not a truther. I don't think there was a magic bullet about the whole JFK thing. I'm just not into that stuff. I'm just not. I don't think Hillary Clinton had anything to do with the suicide of a Foster guy or whatever. I'm not one of those guys. Never was. Never will be. However, this story is fascinating. This DNC guy, Seth Rich, was executed. Washington, D.C., two bullets to the back of the head. Well, you know, the Washington, D.C. police say, oh, it was a robbery, but nothing was stolen. Nothing was stolen. And it was going to pretty much be the end of the story. It's like, oh, well, you know, one more person in D.C. gets executed, gets killed, so who cares, you know, whatever. But did you hear what Donald Trump said? You know, that's what the establishment media does. But something changed regarding the execution. Did I mention two bullets to the back of the head because it was a robbery? Something really interesting happened. Now, a little background. The DNC had its email hacked. And a lot of information was sent off one way or another to WikiLeaks. And the DNC said, oh, it must be the Russians and they're tied in with Donald Trump because they know the establishment media is that gullible, that toady, that they would actually follow up with that story. They just make stuff up. I mean, that's all it is. They just make it up. Well, Julian Assange, who is the head of WikiLeaks, all but said that this guy, Seth Rich, all but said that this guy was the guy who leaked all the DNC emails. Now, this caused a lot of problem with the DNC. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, she was asked eventually to, you know, leave her position. Of course, Hillary Clinton promoted her and gave her a big position with the campaign because Hillary doesn't even pretend anymore. It's just like, yeah, so what? I'll reward her for what she did. I mean, these are horrible people. There were several other people at the DNC that had to resign because of the revelations with these DNC emails. WikiLeaks, you know, was responsible for this. Well, Julian Assange, in an interview on, I think it was Dutch TV, apparently they have television in Holland, who knew? He said that this guy, Seth Rich, 27-year-old DNC staffer, who was executed, did I mention two bullets to the back of the head, as he was walking home? Well, Julian Assange was so upset about this that WikiLeaks has offered a $20,000 reward for the person that would help lead to the arrest and conviction of whoever executed Seth Rich. Now, the interviewer on Dutch TV, apparently they have interviewers in Holland as well. TV interviewers, my God. Said, well, did Seth Rich, is he your source? Is he the one who, you know, gave us all this information about the DNC emails and all this stuff? And Julian Assange said, in essence, we don't disclose our sources ever, even if they happen to be dead, which is a very good policy for WikiLeaks. There's no question about this. Now, again, I stress, I don't have a tinfoil hat. I don't wear tinfoil hats. I don't connect the dots. I don't talk about false flags. I'm not a birther. I'm not a truther. I'm not a conspiracy theory guy at all. And I am not saying that there's a conspiracy behind this, because I don't know. But what I do know is that this is one king hell of a story that should be the lead story on every news cable news channel, and every newspaper, if there's still newspapers, and any kind of media outlet, you know, for news. This should be a really, really important story. A DNC staffer gets executed. The key thing, of course, is that Julian Assange, the head of WikiLeaks, is offering a $20,000 reward. Do you have any idea how much money that is for WikiLeaks? That's an insane dollar amount. Why would they care so deeply about finding out who killed this guy? Well, there's only one reason. Because this guy, Seth Rich, had to be the guy that disclosed all of this information. Apparently, Seth Rich was also a Bernie Sanders fan. Bernie Sanders guy, not a Hillary guy. $20,000 reward. WikiLeaks. Now, I realize that apologists for Hillary Clinton, and again, I'm not saying that Hillary had anything to do with this. I am not. I absolutely am not. But I do know that the establishment media is going to say, oh, well, that's just a conspiracy theory. You know, he must have two bullets in the back of the head, or, you know, whatever. They try to blow it off. Must be some sort of right-wing conspiracy thing. Vast right-wing conspiracy thing. Yeah, that's what it must be. Yeah, that's what it must be. It must be the Republicans causing all sorts of trouble. I mean, anybody could be walking down the street in Washington, D.C. and get two bullets in the back of the head. Stuff happens. Hey. But remember who's putting up the $20,000. Julian Assange. WikiLeaks. We're not talking about a vast right-wing conspiracy at all. In fact, just as an FYI, I'm Dimitri, the lovable libertarian. I'm a life member of the Libertarian Party. I vote only for libertarian candidates. Julian Assange and WikiLeaks are, to me, heroic. They're incredible. They're wonderful. As is Edward Snowden, as is Thomas Drake and William Binney and Wiebe and so many other whistleblowers who have, Chelsea Manning, who have all put it out there trying to get the information out to the public about what the government, doesn't matter which party, what the government is doing behind the scenes illegally, and we need to know about it. I think the world of all these whistleblowers, Julian Assange, Edward Snowden, Thomas Drake, Binney, Wiebe, Chelsea Manning, on and on and on. These are heroes to me. WikiLeaks is this incredible organization. Thank God for WikiLeaks. Thank God for Glenn Greenwald, who broke the story along with some other people about Edward Snowden and the NSA. These are my heroes. And Dr. Ron Paul, of course. These are my heroes. The Republican establishment hates Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. The Democratic establishment also hates Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. Because the key here is not Republican-Democrat. The key here is the establishment, the insiders, the ones who've rigged everything. Republican and Democrat, they hate Julian Assange. They hate WikiLeaks. There's no question about this. Why am I telling you this? Well, because this is not coming from a vast right-wing conspiracy. This is coming from Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, whose sole motivation is to tell the truth, to get the truth out there. The whole government's accountable. Doesn't matter, Republican, Democrat, doesn't matter the United States or England or wherever, just hold them accountable. I mean, this guy deserves a Nobel Prize or something. For Julian Assange and WikiLeaks to say, we're going to put up $20,000 to find out who executed Seth Rich. Well, he's all but saying this is the guy. This is the guy at the DNC who gave us all this information. When Julian Assange and WikiLeaks puts up $20,000 to get information on this guy, this poor bastard who, did I mention it? Two bullets in the back of the head? Did I mention that? This is a big story. This is a big story. Mind you, I am not wearing a tinfoil hat. I am not a birther. I am not a truther. I don't talk about false flags. I don't talk about connecting the dots and conspiracies and all that. I just don't do that. No one is suggesting that Hillary Clinton or even the DNC had anything to do with this. What I am saying emphatically is that this is one hell of a story now because of Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. If it looks like a duck and it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, ergo, therefore, i.e., dot, 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 draw your own conclusions. And yet, what is the media talking about? This incredibly juicy, insane story here with all these moving parts, all these elements? No. They're talking about what Donald Trump might have meant when he said something at a rally. Because Donald Trump, of course, is the Antichrist. And we've got to do whatever we can to make sure that he doesn't become president. This is an amazing story. Because of Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. This was just another execution-style killing in Washington, D.C. Ho-hum. In fact, Hillary's statement regarding this was, well, I'm paraphrasing here, of course, but you can probably pretty much guess, well, we need more gun control. This is the guy who quite likely is the one responsible for the DNC email leaks. He gets executed. WikiLeaks wants offering $20,000 to find out who did it. How is this not the story everywhere? How is this not the story? And the D.C. police, of course, said, well, it must have been a robbery attempt. No money was taken. Not even a cell phone, no jewelry, nothing. Two bullets to the back of the head. That's a robbery attempt? Seriously? This is an incredible story. And yet all the media, the establishment media can talk about is, oh, what did Donald Trump say? What did he mean when he said this? Is this violence? Is this that? I mean, it's just, if you don't know the name Seth Rich, if you didn't, well, hopefully now you do. And hopefully now you understand how a big deal this story is. I don't know where it's going. And it might end up that somehow, some way, some insane robber put two bullets in the back of his head and then didn't rob him. I guess that's possible. $20,000, WikiLeaks, Julian Assange. This is a hell of a story. Media all but ignoring it. Oh, but Donald Trump said something that might mean this and it might mean that. And oh, my goodness. And plus, you know, never Trump Republicans, you know, don't want him to be elected. So that's the story. That's the story. No, no. This is the story. This guy is the story. The establishment media won't talk about it, but I will. This is One Dimitri Radio, blogtalkradio.com, Facebook Live, and we're on five nights a week, 9 p.m. Eastern time, and this stuff is just infuriating to me. It's absolutely infuriating to me. Again, I don't know where this is going to lead. There are way, way too many coincidences here for this to be just, oh, it's just another execution in Washington, D.C. Let's just call it a robbery. Yeah, that's it. We'll just call it a robbery. But he wasn't robbed. Oh, yeah, well, nobody's going to pay attention. Well, now, because of Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, now they got to pay attention. At least they should. But, oh, look, there's Donald Trump. He said something. Let's go over there and, you know, Seth Rich, 27 years old, I think, from Nebraska. Went to Creighton. By all accounts, a good, decent guy. Did I mention he had two bullets in the back of the head? Do you get the sense that we're living in a rigged republic? Do you get the sense that the establishment doesn't even pretend to hide it anymore? That it's just, no, this is the way it is, and what are you going to do about it? I get that feeling. That we're living in a rigged republic, that this is what it is. I can't prove that anything happened with this guy other than – I can't prove that. But the only thing that I know is that the police are saying two bullets back of the head and he wasn't robbed of anything. And Julian Assange is all but saying, yeah, this is the guy. We've got all the information from the DNC. And we'll put up $20,000 to find out who the hell did this. Tell me that's not a story. Tell me that's not a story. But you never know where it could lead. So, oh, look, there's Donald Trump. He's saying something. Let's go over there and figure out, you know, what kind of dog whistle racist thing he's saying now. And let's write about that. I'm talking to you from the lifepedigree.com studio at the intersection of freedom and fun. Trademark, service mark, copyright, patent pending, don't steal it. I want to talk to you about lifepedigree.com. Before we talk about should the president's daughter, Malia, be arrested? Well, she violated the war on drugs. So shouldn't we arrest her? But first, lifepedigree.com. Lifepedigree.com, if you own a business, chances are you get resumes because you've got openings from time to time, whether you have one employee or 100 or 1 million employees. Figuring out who's telling the truth on resumes is not easy. Who do you call to find out about the military stuff that the applicant is claiming that, oh, yes, I was in the military and I was awarded four medals of honor. Yeah, that's it. That's what it was. And several silver stars and well, there's a gap here. I wonder what – I guess he was unemployed. Well, yeah, maybe he was in prison, you know. Or what about this? What about his credit score? What about that? I mean, you don't know how to do this stuff. I don't know how to do this stuff. But lifepedigree.com does know how to do this stuff, and that's important to you. Send any resume that you get from your business, send it to lifepedigree.com. Lifepedigree.com has the economies of scale. They've got all the people. They have all the, you know, Rolodexes, all the information. They know how to figure out who's telling the truth like that. And then they put the seal of approval on the resumes, the good ones, send them back to you and say, okay, here are the people who are truthful on their resumes. So then it's easier for you to hire a good employee. Lifepedigree.com. Here's how to reach them. Send an email. sales@lifepedigree.com, sales@lifepedigree.com. In the subject line, put in my name, Dimitri with three I's, Dimitri, or Dimitri sent me. Anything with Dimitri, so they know it's not spam, so they know it's coming from a good, reputable source, because they've checked out all my friends and on Facebook and all my followers and on Twitter and everything. So they know that my numbers, I mean, I've got like 5,000 friends, another 450 followers on Facebook, 12,200 something followers on Twitter. They know these are legit. These aren't spammy accounts or anything like that. So that's, you know, that's pretty important to them. So sales@lifepedigree.com in the subject line, Dimitri with three I's, or Dimitri sent me, or anything to that effect. All right. We got a lot of people here. Let's just say hello to everybody who's joining us on Facebook Live, and then we'll get to, should the president's daughter be busted for smoking weed? In other words, should we treat the president's daughter, Malia, who by all accounts is a good kid, except she's now violating, you know, drug laws, should we treat her like everyone else? Should we treat her like these poor, uneducated, bottom of the barrel kids that, you know, a cop sees them smoking, are going to arrest you? Should we do the same thing for the president's daughter? All right, let's see who's joined us here. Andy has joined us, and Lee, how you doing? Lee was a star, by the way, on some of the buses in Pittsburgh. I think it was a TV commercial, I think. Yeah, he starred in a big deal TV commercial there. So there's Lee, and there's Mike, Janine again, and Douglas, and Clearwater. Matt, terrific. Patricia, I'm here. Whoops, wait a minute. Hold on a second. I screwed this up. All right, Patricia, I'm here. Roll call. That's great. Patricia loves uppercase letters, and a lot of times she'll put a space between each letter to really give it impact. Thank you. Appreciate that. David, yes and yes. Doug, Tampa Bay in the house. Fantastic. Love Tampa Bay. Patricia, how come the families of the dead people speak out? These dead people speak out. How come? I'm not quite sure quite what that means. Charlie Mitchell, okay. Ohio here. Jim, great. Keith, Phoenix, dry heat. Mark and Kirk Cross, fantastic. Mike, listening. Do your take on the Rich murder? I prefer to call it an execution because murder is actually a legal term where if you're found guilty of murder, it's like a homicide. But to me, I'm using like poetic license, if that's even the right term. Two bullets in the back of the head. Sounds like an execution to me. You know, and the D.C. police, well, must have been robbery. But nothing was taken. The money's still there. The cell phone is still there. The jewelry is still there. The hell kind of robbery is this? Two bullets in the back of the head? What kind of robbery are you talking about here? I mean, come on. Anyway, Janet and Bob, Clinton body count, Google that. It's scary. Well, again, I want to stress, I am not even hinting that I had the slightest clue about what happened here. All I am saying is that this is one king hell of a story that because of Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, $20,000, they want to know who killed this guy. This guy. And the media is not, it's like they don't even care. What I should do is start a rumor. What I should do is start a rumor and saying, you know, I think Donald Trump had him killed. You do that, the establishment media will start to care. Always thinking. All right, unbelievable. Right, Keith Kennedy. Okay, Thong Boy. I missed hearing you on the radio. Well, I miss you too, Keith. I think like we're bonding. Keith Kennedy is like this big deal guy, radio guy in Akron, the Akron market. He runs a number of radio stations. I almost went to work for him after I left WWVA. Things didn't work out just because I wasn't willing to move because I still had, you know, with my kid. It just, but always liked him, always liked him, always stayed in touch with him. So I don't know, maybe someday, you know, we'll work something out. Who knows? But Keith Kennedy, good guy, very big deal radio guy in the Akron market, pretty much dominates it from everything that I've read regarding him and all that. Pretty soon he'll be running like a division of iHeart. So stay tuned for that. You heard it here first. Let's see, there's Jordan and Keith and Ken. Oh, Fergus. I interviewed Fergus today. This guy, Fergus Hodgson, is he's got an accent because he's not one of us. He's from New Zealand, but he lives in Patagonia. That's somewhere in South America, where like Argentina, yes, where they have like this massive desert there and llamas. And anyway, I interviewed him. It's a fascinating interview. We'll be playing that probably tomorrow night. But a terrific guy, absolutely terrific guy. Are you saying, this doesn't execute, Keith, all you are saying is don't execute the lovable libertarian. Well, yes, please don't execute me. That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm looking behind me just in case, you know, might be another attempted robbery. Anyway, we should have hired you. Well, you still can, Keith. Have my people call your, or have your people call my people, and we'll work something out. It's a curiouser and curiouser, Janine. Okay, God, I love my Facebook friends. I really do, and my listeners, of course, on blogtalkradio.com. But the immediacy here with the comments with my Facebook friends is really great. Keith, give me a call. Anyway, so we've got that. Now, let's go on to the war on drugs and zero tolerance, because by God, anybody who's connected with drugs, we got to throw their ass in jail unless they're well connected. And then see, the rules are a little different. Anyway, long story short, by all accounts, look, I'm not a fan of his politics, President Barack Obama. I find the president to be insufferable, condescending, and in some ways like almost hello, radio in Akron. Okay. That's sort of like a man child. I mean, I don't like him as a president. I don't like him as a person. I think he's a serial killer with all those drones killing innocent people all over the world. He doesn't seem to mind. I really don't like him. His wife is interesting. And I have to confess something here to you. Michelle Obama. 99% of the time when I see her, when she's smiling, when she's charming, when she's okay, the 1% of the time that I hate her is when she has this sneer. She has this incredible sneer. I'm not really doing it justice. Sort of look like the Michael Phelps gold medal death stare. Anyway, she's got this sneer that can just is like a knife. It just cuts right through you. And it makes her look like the most horrible person in the world. But that's only like 1% of the time. Most of the time when I see her, she's smiling and everything. To me, she's like really attractive. I mean, like really attractive. And I found out, I read something, and I don't think this was hype. I think this was honest to God's truth. Some of the background stuff, like from Secret Service, you know how Secret Service people sometimes will tell on their bosses, like everybody, all the Secret Service people hate Hillary Clinton because, of course, she is a soulless witch. But apparently, Michelle Obama, politics aside, forget the politics, forget the, you know, the grievances and all that crap. Just Michelle Obama, the human, apparently is a very nice person, very nice to the Secret Service and all that. And again, like 99% of the time, I find her like really attractive. I mean, like really desirable, attractive. Guys talking, you know, guys talking. All right. Not a big fan of the president. That said, by any measure that I'm aware of, President Barack Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama are great parents. They raised two great kids. They're just great parents. And by the way, I actually said the same thing and believe the same thing about Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. I have no use for them as humans, but by all accounts, they too are good parents. Now, again, you can disagree with Chelsea's politics and all that. You know, I get that. But, you know, you got to be fair here. You got to be fair. So back to President Obama and Malia. She is the one who's he graduated high school. And next year, I think, is going to Harvard. Well, turns out that she's at a Lollapalooza or something. And she's smoking weed. And I have a picture of it on the slideshow on blogtalkradio.com, tonight's episode, and also on Facebook Live. And I thought to myself, now, isn't this interesting? The president's daughter has been busted. She's smoking pot. I wonder when she's going to be arrested. When is she going to be arrested? Well, we have a war on drugs, don't we? A lot of my Facebook friends, rather, say that, well, we need zero tolerance. And, you know, people who do drugs, we need to put them in jail because prohibition works just like it worked back in the 20s, you know, or something like that. And we got to get tough on crime, you know, tough on drugs and this, that, and the other. How many people are in prison right now because of nonviolent offenses of simply possessing and smoking weed? How many people? I'm guessing more than a few. But I'm guessing none of them are the president's daughters or sons. And so what I'm thinking is this. Why don't we arrest, you know, the Washington, D.C. police, that great police force, two bullets to the back of the head, must have been a robbery. Why don't we have the D.C. police arrest the president's daughter? Daughter, why can't I speak tonight? Hold on a second. I think I'm addicted to these things. These are Hall's Defense, sugar-free, of course, vitamin C. And sometimes I get a dry throat. So now I'm starting to suck on these things, and now I think I'm addicted to them. And now I'm like halfway through, anytime I'm talking, I'm suddenly going, hold on. That's enough of this. That's it. Let me get some water. I'm going cold turkey. I'm actually doing an intervention on myself regarding these sugar-free Hall's things. Hold on. I feel like a new man. All right. Hopefully I'll do better now. So we called the D.C. police. In fact, would you? No. Don't do that. No. I was just thinking out loud. Don't do this. But if I wanted to be a scamp, what I would have done, I'm not going to do it. I would have called the D.C. police. Said, you need to arrest somebody. Malia or Obama smoking weed. And have the police actually arrest her. And I think this would be important if she was arrested, because first, it would show the world that we don't have a double standard in this country when it comes to lawbreakers. It would show people that we're actually serious about the war on drugs, as opposed to being serious only if the people who are violating that are at the bottom of the food chain, because it's easy to arrest poor people. Oh, my God, it's so easy. And a lot of poor people will smoke weed, or they have a broken taillight, or they may have a gun, or whatever it happens to be. They're so easy to arrest. That's why our prisons are full of poor, uneducated people. Not the smart ones who are going to Harvard. Not too many of those. So if we would arrest the president's daughter, and by the way, do you think that's a good idea for my Facebook friends? Just type something in the keypad about, yes, we should arrest her, we should not arrest her, or why, or whatever. If you would do that, I'll read some of the comments here. By the way, welcome to Stephen and John. And people have killed people throughout history. The Clintons killed the guy. Well, I don't know that, John. I don't know that at all. But it's a big deal story and should be covered. So if we do have the police arrest Malia Obama, it'll send a very strong message that we're actually serious about the war on drugs. And that doesn't matter how rich you are, powerful, or influential, you're going to be treated the same way because the law is fair to everyone. Funny. Some people actually still believe that. I guess they didn't see FBI Director Comey talking about Hillary Clinton. It's like, I mean, look, should anyone be arrested simply for doing any drug? No, I'm a libertarian. Prohibition did not work then. Prohibition does not work now. Prohibition will never work. Because if people want to do something, they're going to do it. And this is a victimless crime. The war on drugs, it's a victimless crime. If you want to do a drug, which again, I don't drink alcohol. I don't use tobacco. I'd like to cigar, but it was affecting my lungs and the pulmonary doctor said, no, don't do that. So I don't do that anymore. So I don't drink, I don't use tobacco, I don't drug, I just don't. But if people want to do that, if they're 420 friendly, or if they're, you know, I mean, whatever, It's like, it's your business. You're not harming anyone. Go, except maybe yourself. If you're not harming other people, I don't care. If you're an adult, you want to do this, go do it. Go have at it. You know, go be happy. So that's what I believe. Any victimless crime, virtually any victimless crime should be repealed. Because again, you're not harming other people. And really the ones who get arrested typically are at the bottom of the food chain. They're typically black and Hispanic, uneducated, young, naive. They're not well connected. They're so easy to arrest. They're so easy to get confessions out of them and throw them in prison because that's kind of what we do. But now you've got the president's daughter. I'm assuming that's how you smoke weed because I've seen films. By the way, I've never understood how you would smoke and not start coughing. Because when I smoked cigars, I would never inhale them. I mean, my God, I mean, I just wouldn't do that. But people have to inhale. From what I'm told, people have to inhale weed in order for it to have the effect of, you know, whatever the effect is. And so I don't know how they do this without coughing. I swear to God, I don't. Didn't want to find out. I don't care. Just I don't care. So ask my Facebook friends. Let's see. Oh, Keith, does Washington, D.C. have medical marijuana? I don't know, but it doesn't matter because this was at a concert. I don't think that the president's daughter had a prescription for medical marijuana. Now, again, if you're going to be fair here, she does have to be arrested. Now, we know it's not going to happen because we know that the system is rigged, that they're essentially a double standard. There's the people at the top of the food chain, the establishment, whether it's government or whether it's media or whether it's business or, you know, the insiders who pretty much run everything. And then there are the rest of us. And so Malia Obama is up there with the, you know, the right people, the right connections. She's not going to be arrested. In fact, I'll bet you a lot of people come to her defense and go, oh, what's the big deal? It's just, you know, she used to be a child, you know, however, which is fine. If those same people had the same attitudes about the poor, dumb, uneducated people that we have in our prisons who are there simply because they were smoking weed or some other substance or whatever, didn't harm anyone, but they were just doing that. No one seems to care about them other than libertarians. And it's like, God, Jesus, it just infuriates me. It really does. So, okay, for those of you who think that Malia, by the way, I'm not getting any responses here from my Facebook friends about whether we should arrest her or not and why. Let's see. Steve is writing, how is a teenage child becoming addicted to heroin a victimless crime? This is where I separate myself from the libertarian crowd. Well, if there's no crime. If you look at grass or any drug as a public safety issue, then yes, you want to arrest everyone and throw them in prison. For example, Stephen, one of my Facebook friends, good Facebook friend, must want the police to arrest the daughter of the president of the United States, Malia, because she was smoking weed. I guess that's what he wants because he's treating it like it's a public safety issue. And well, if it's a public safety issue, we have to arrest her, don't we? As a libertarian, I look at it more as a public health issue. That if someone is, oh, I don't know, addicted to weed or whatever, you don't throw them in prison just because they're smoking a lot of weed. I mean, if they're not bothering anyone else, so then, you know, they're not bothering anyone else. And even if it's heroin or crack or whatever it happens to be, if they're not harming other people, how in God's name do you throw somebody in jail? What's the matter with you? I mean, that's like depraved. If they're having a problem with drugs or alcohol, which is another drug, of course, point them to, you know, clinics, point them to 12-step programs, point them to, you know, doctors and nurses and therapists and all that. But if they're not harming other people, don't treat them like criminals. Now, what Stephen is saying, how is a teenage child becoming addicted to heroin a victimless crime? Okay, fine. Let's say it is. So let's say Malia, God forbid, is addicted to heroin. Should we arrest her and throw her in prison because it's a public safety issue? Of course not. Of course not. Keith, did she have a Secret Service with? Oh, Keith, that is a great point. Keith from Phoenix, great question. Did she have Secret Service with her? She had to. I mean, she just had to. This was at a Lollapalooza or something, some concert thing. She had to have Secret Service there. In fact, knowing Secret Service, considering the quality of the Secret Service agents that we have these days, I wouldn't be surprised if they're the ones who gave her the weed. Well, I mean, they're drinking and drugging and whoring. I mean, Secret Service agents, how many stories have we heard and read about Secret Service agents these days? I wouldn't be surprised if they were the ones who gave her the weed, but I could be wrong. But that's a great question, one of many questions. Jim writes, the establishment is a club, and we, the American voter, aren't in it. They won't charge her. I agree. I don't think anybody should be charged, but Angie has joined us as well. But think about this. I mean, there are actually a lot of issues here. Keith has opened up a great line of thought here. So did this happen in a vacuum? And by that, I'm not saying like in an Oreck or a Hoover, but did this happen just like there was suddenly Malia at the concert and suddenly a marijuana cigarette just appeared in her hands and somebody forced her to... I don't think so. My guess is, not just a guess, my guess is there was at least one other person involved. The pusher. The drug dealer. Well, how did she get it? We got this war on drugs. Don't we put people in prison for distributing drugs? I think we do. Prisons are full of people like that. Nonviolent offenders, but they're selling drugs. Somebody sold drugs to Malia, or somebody gave her drugs. Unless, you know how the First Lady has that garden in the White House, and they grow vegetables and all that. You don't suppose Malia grew a few? Nah, probably not. Okay, so now we have not only Malia, who is violating this war on drugs, she's smoking weed, but it's reasonable to assume there's at least one other person involved. Somebody had to give it to her, a drug dealer. Well, don't we arrest drug dealers? People who distribute drugs, don't we arrest them? Don't we put them in prison? Well, shouldn't we do that for whoever gave Malia the weed? And what about the Secret Service? Are you telling me the Secret Service, okay, just imagine this, just try to picture this. Let's say I'm a Secret Service agent. Let's just, I'd be a real good one. Oh, yeah, I'll take a bullet for you, Mr. President. But let's just say that I would. Okay, just picture me, short hair, actually having hair, and sunglasses, very, very, like one of those guys in The Matrix, the bad guys. And also picture me with a little plastic curlicue thing coming out of my ear, because that's a tip off at Secret Service. So picture me. I'm watching the president's daughter. This is a big deal assignment. This is much more important for a Secret Service agent than helping poor old Hillary Clinton up some stairs so she doesn't fall down again. This is like really important. If I'm a Secret Service agent and my role, my job is to protect the daughter of the president of the United States. That's a really important thing. So me being a Secret Service agent, sunglasses, plastic curlicue thing coming out of my ear, I'm keeping an eye on this kid. I mean, my God, especially at a concert. Can you imagine people? God only knows what's going to happen to a child at a concert, especially the president's child. So the Secret Service agent either lost track of Malia, which if that's the case, get rid of him or her or them, probably them. It's got to be more than one, I would think. Or they let her smoke weed. They were keeping an eye on her and she's smoking weed. So now you've got a lot of moving parts to this story. Again, we've got this war on drugs. Oh, yes, we've got to keep throwing people in prison, because they smoke drugs or whatever they do. You've got the president's daughter smoking, breaking the law. You've got somebody giving her or selling her weed against the law. You got Secret Service agents, I'm guessing certainly more than one, who either lost track of her, which is astonishing, or more likely saw this criminal violation, and probably even knows who gave her the drugs, and have done nothing. And those are just three of the moving parts of this story. I'm sure there are many others. Is this the first time that she smoked? Well, were there other times? Were there other pushers? Where is she getting the drugs? What's the Secret Service doing about this? Why is nobody being arrested for being a pusher for the president's daughter? Or does the war on drugs not apply to people at the top of the food chain? That if I'm a drug dealer and I can give, you know, weed to the president's daughter, hey, they're not going to touch me. Is that how it works? Our republic is rigged. It's rigged. Now, do I want the kid arrested? Of course not. I don't want anyone arrested, though. Whether it's Malia, who's going to Harvard next year and has two, by all accounts, and parents who are really, really good. I mean, good, decent family. As much as I can't stand Obama, I mean, that's a good family. I mean, they're just a good family. They really are. And if Michelle would just stop with that sneer, God, because I find her, like, really attractive. But that sneer, I don't want, you know, she's, Malia is like the poster child for, like, we shouldn't be making a big, she's just being a child. What about all the other children whose parents aren't the president and the first lady of the United States? What about all those other kids who are high school dropouts or grade school dropouts who also smoked but were arrested and ended up in jail, in prison, and, you know, God knows whatever? And what about their pushers? I mean, it's like, it's so unfair. This war on drugs is so unfair. It's just so unfair. Anyway, let's see. Jim, who signed Secret Service paychecks, do you think? Well, obviously, I mean, there are lots of really interesting angles to this story. But again, the establishment media is certainly not going to do anything about it. They're just going to go, oh, she's just being a child. But they don't take the same attitude for all those other kids. Typically, poor, black, Hispanic, uneducated, broken homes, horrible lives. No one seems to care about them. No, except maybe the criminal justice system, because everybody makes money off of them because, oh, we arrest them. We need more police. We need more, corrections officers. We need to build more prisons. Everybody makes money off of these poor black and Hispanic people at the bottom of the food chain. For doing what? For doing the same thing that the president's daughter is doing, smoking weed. This war on drugs is so insane. Other than slavery, the war on drugs has been the biggest threat to American civil rights ever. Other than slavery, this war on drugs, and it's an abomination. Prohibition did not work then. Prohibition does not work now. The double standard, she gets away with it, which is fine with me, but everybody else should get away with it too. It's just so wrong on so many levels. It is so wrong. God, I hate this. Another reason why I'm a libertarian. All right, let's see here. Janine, I would have thought that once the baby boomers hippies came to power, pot would have been legalized by now. Well, if you would have all voted for libertarians, you would have. But no. And in fact, the hypocrisy, I mean, we all know that Barack Obama, you know, was into marijuana and all that kind of stuff. And of course, John McCain, when he was running against him, didn't want to say anything because John McCain is an idiot. But why hasn't President Barack Obama done what Dr. Ron Paul and other libertarians have been trying to do from day one, and that is to end this war on drugs? Why hasn't he done that? I mean, look, there's only one party that actually cares about this, and that's the Libertarian Party. We know that the war on drugs is an incredible civil rights violation that has cost untold millions of people their freedom, their lives, over what? Over what? A plant? A friggin' plant? Whether the plant's marijuana or poppy or, I mean, just for what? For victimless crimes where no one else is being hurt. It just never. All right. Next. Update on House Speaker Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan said, watch this election because I don't know how it's going to go. but it's going to be really interesting. And it really was. House Speaker Paul Ryan yesterday, Tuesday, won re-election in the Republican primary. It's not the general election, Republican primary. And it was a big victory. No question about it. You know, he had like crazy numbers of success against Paul Nealon, who actually put up a very good fight, but came up way, way short. And I said, I've been following this thing for months, mostly on social media, because, of course, the mainstream media would not cover it because they like Paul Ryan. And so let's not give any publicity to anybody challenging him and all that. And some of the stories that I read just before the election, because nobody covered it in the establishment media before it, but right before the election, in fact, I shared this story with you, a Washington Post story, that the pollsters were saying over the weekend that Paul Ryan was going to win big. Okay, and he did. Big victory for him, no question about it. Absolutely no question. But the thing that I raised then, the issue that I raised then and raised now again, is the big unexplained thing that was included in the story in the Washington Post, and that was this. Paul Ryan spent $600,000 for TV advertising in the Republican primary in his district. Now, if he was all that popular and this other guy wasn't much of a challenger, why would Paul Ryan and his fellow rhinos spend $600,000 on one congressional district in Wisconsin to get Paul Ryan reelected? Here's what I think. What I think is that this election was a whole lot closer than people outside of Janesville or whatever that area is called in Wisconsin were going to admit. It was a whole lot closer, a much, much tighter, tougher race. And the Republican establishment saw this and knew what happened to Eric Cantor and said, oh, no, this ain't going to happen again. And so they dumped literally almost two-thirds of $1 million in a Republican primary against an unknown candidate to help their buddy Paul Ryan. And it worked. And he got big numbers and all that. But I will bet, and there's no way that I can prove this, but I will bet you that until that massive dump of money, that Paul Ryan was in trouble. Because the one thing with politicians is they're not going to spend money if they don't have to. And for them to spend $600,000 one month before the election says to me, and you really should say to everyone, that Paul Ryan was in trouble. He was in big trouble. Why else would you spend $600,000 in the Republican primary for the Speaker of the House? He was in big trouble, and the Republican establishment knew it. And that's why they spent all that money, and they got their money's worth. I think that's what happened there. But yeah, he won, no question, fair and square. But I think that's what really happened. So we'll see. All right. I think that is it for this part of the show here. Let me just double check everything. Donald Trump's zero tolerance, Paul Ryan. Okay, great. So my guest is tonight, Wally Sarkisian.